And it is good to be back from our little trip. And, of course, good to have the cooks back after being gone quite a while. And they had a unique trip. We had a very nice trip and probably didn't have quite as few problems as they did on theirs. But we had a few issues. But anyway, that's kind of what happens, I suppose. But anyway, good time and good to have Brother Larice here. Looks like things went very well with him during this hour as well as in the morning service. And we praise the Lord for good missionaries. Good to be able to support missionaries that are doing the work and winning people to Christ. And so praise the Lord for that. And yes, the cooks were able to go to, of course, they had some vacation time and did that. But then they went to New York State and were able to purchase a trip bus for the ministry. We've been trying to do that now for the past 3 or 4 years, it seems like. And Brother Kelvin has been doing some extra things, trying to save money in the bus ministry and save it up. And then people have donated, and we were able to get a trip bus. And you'll get to see that. You would have gotten to see that, but they had to take it to their house for some reason. And that's because it was purchased from a tour company that toured Watkins Glen. They have Watkins Glen has a racetrack there, and they also have wineries. And so, right on the bus, it says Watkins Glen Tours or something, racetrack and wineries, and has a wine glass on there. We were going to call it the Communion Bus, but didn't know that that would go over well. So we're trying to kind of figure out how we're going to deal with all that. But you are going to be very happy, especially the seniors. Many donated toward that and gave toward that, and it is very, very nice. And Alicia, you rode in it all the way back, and it worked, right?
It's very comfortable.
Very nice. You lean back a little bit, the seats recline, and lights above, and TVs. You didn't watch anything wicked, did you?
DVD player.
Oh, DVD. So we control all that. All right. Seniors, nothing bad. Okay, we're going to trust you with this one. Glenn Harnden, this will be your opportunity to show all your DVDs. Political DVDs that he has and everything. Yeah, there's not enough trips scheduled, right? But actually, that's good. So we're excited about that. That went very well. And we were in a church in Indianapolis, Indiana. We went to Indianapolis, spent some time there, and I took my wife to the zoo. I hate zoos, okay, but I love my wife. So we went to the zoo. I mean, to me, a monkey's a monkey's a monkey. You've seen one monkey, you've seen them all, whether they're facing you or whether they turn around. And, we went to the zoo, and the zoo was there, but we were at a church in, it's called Mars Hill area of Indianapolis, very rough area, and Mars Hill Baptist Church, and the pastor there, good guy. In fact, they had the same tour group that we had. They were having them the next few days, so we talked a little bit about that. But that pastor was going through the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. And on that particular Wednesday night, he started, and he mentioned that he'd been going through the book of Revelation, and he started on Revelation chapter 20. And I thought, oh, this will be good, and maybe I can get some things. And so I'm taking notes and everything. He went all the way through Revelation 20 on a Wednesday night. I said, man, afterward, and Revelation 20. I mean, the first verse. I'm thinking, well, that'll take 2 weeks. And anyway, so I asked him. I said, well, how long have you been? Oh, he said, I've been on this for about a little over 16 weeks. So I told him I went through first four chapters in a little over a year and a half. And so anyway, that gives you an idea of the way we're going through it. Now, he didn't do anything wrong. It was great. I mean, what he presented was very good. We're just taking a lot more time. So I do appreciate your patience. I am really enjoying the study. Now, I'm going to test your patience today because I got hung up on two words, which you'll see here in just a few minutes. But anyway, praise the Lord, it is exciting. What an exciting weekend this has been. I'll tell you what, with all the things going on, to come back, we came back very, very late Wednesday night, and then I thought, oh, I'll be able to kind of take it easy Thursday. No, Friday, no. Saturday, not at all. And because it's we have a lot going on, so that's exciting and that's a blessing. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and lesson number 15. We're going to finish it off today. Lesson 15, the anguishing questions. And we are in a section 3, which covers Revelation chapters 4 and 5. And this is entitled, The Ability of the Lamb to Open the Book. And so we have some anguishing questions that we're finishing off with here in lesson 15. First question was, what is the writing? Starting with Revelation 5:1. And what is the writing? And then we got into the second part, which is our memory verse. And that is, wait a minute, where'd it go? I can't even read my own. Who is worthy? And so let's look at our memory verse, Revelation 5:2. And let's say that for the last time here. And we'll say the reference verse and reference and begin. Revelation 5:2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Revelation 5:2. And again, Revelation 5:2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Revelation 5:2. Father, thank you so much for letting us be gone for a few days. And thank you for Brother Larice coming and being a blessing last Sunday. Lord, it's just great to be back and back home and behind my pulpit and with this class, such a special class. Please teach us today. Guide us, direct us through your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so what is the writing? Who is worthy? Those are the two questions. And then we got hung up on that third question, why all the weeping? And we spent some time there as we do spend time, and we are going to finish that today. Why all the weeping? Verses 3 and 4, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, this book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And so the weeping, no man is able. No one had the legal authority. Nobody could do it. John realized how important this deed, this book, this title deed to the future of mankind. None could open this book. Again, I remind you, as I read this, I stop and I think maybe he thought, well, what about Moses? What about David? What about Peter? What about Paul? I mean, come on. The greatest men, the angels couldn't open the book. Nobody could. And so he wept much. And with all of man's knowledge, whatever is in the book could not be known until somebody opened that book. With all that man knew and all that man knows and all the technology of man, understand, folks, that all the knowledge of mankind could not figure this thing out. We had to have somebody who could open the book. And since Christ, of course, is worthy, and since Christ can open the book, as we find out later on, understand, and we kind of ended with this, we can know through him many, many things. And that's where we ended a couple of weeks ago. We can know so much through him. In him are the treasures of knowledge. I mean, he has so much for us to know. The only reason we don't know is because we are too lazy to find out. We don't walk with him. We don't talk with him. If you're spending time with Hollywood, you're not going to know the things of God. Okay, you're going to know the things of Hollywood if you're spending time in sports. And again, we can spend some time, but that's pretty much what you're going to know. You know, we have many people that could quote batting averages of their favorite team and statistics galore of a football team and all kinds of stuff. And that's okay, that's fine. But those same people maybe can't even give one verse of the Word of God. And so again, we choose to know what we want to know, but in Christ we can know. As John proves to us, Christ is going to reveal what is in this book. Christ is going to open the book. And I left off a couple weeks ago with the question, do we weep because men don't know? And certainly that is something that we should weep about. We should weep because people don't know. We have the answer. Praise God for the fair ministry. By the way, our tent is ready. It looks sharp. It's one of the best displays we've ever had. And just ready for souls to get saved. I'm excited about it. And as we think of the context of our lesson, it's ready for people to find out, people to know. And so praise the Lord for that. And so we go back to this writing, this deed, if you will, to our inheritance. Again, we don't know what this book is. We're speculating some. I believe it is the deed. It is the future promises to mankind and ability to take over those promises, those things that man lost when man sinned, those things God meant for man to have and wanted man to have because he loves us and made possible for man to have again because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we again go back to this writing and we go back to this weeping. Why all the weeping? Well, I remind you, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And the longer we hope for something, the longer we don't get that thing, that can certainly make the heart sick. John being a preacher, John being a Bible scholar, knowing the Word of God, knowing what his salvation meant, knowing that he's got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, knowing that there's an inheritance coming to him that only God could provide and only God could, in his own mind and heart, could come up with. And John is excited about that. And then all of a sudden, who's going to open the book? Nobody can open the book. And so for this brief moment, it seems John is caught with the idea that there's no way for man to receive all that God has for him. And so the challenge is issued, who is worthy to open the book? And, you know, as I kind of finish this off, I think about how humanism proves the failure, really, a man, because humanism says man is the measure of, if man is the measure of all things, man couldn't open that book. Man could not provide heaven. Man is able to build a bridge. We certainly traveling, I'm sure the cooks went across many bridges and went across many one lane where they're repairing bridges. Man can do that. Man can build great buildings. Man can build computers that do amazing things and telephones that that are computers and all those kind of things. But man has failed. In the garden, man could not keep one rule. Just one. That was it. One rule. Man failed. Okay? Man, with all his knowledge, okay? Man with all his, by the way, then groups of men have said, we'll do it. God's people said, we'll keep it. We'll do right. They failed over and over and over. They failed. Okay, man with all his knowledge, all of his ability, man failed. Again, couldn't keep one. We you know, one. You can't just keep one. Man failed. And then one man who was tempted in all points, every point, every area, as we are. The Bible says, yet without sin. That's the rightful, worthy owner of all that God has for man, man's inheritance. And, you think about here, and I kind of take note of John's doubt, you know, that he didn't know. He wasn't sure. Who is worthy? You know, I take note of that and kind of wonder about that a little bit. And verse 5, it says, one of the elders said unto me. And so here John, who has preached, here's John who walked with Jesus, here's John whose heart is broken because no one's worthy to open the book. He didn't know, but here's one of the elders who's been in heaven with the Lord. He did know, because one of the elders, verse 5, said, weep not, weep not. And so we move into that with our next lesson as we end lesson number 15. So put that away and now get out lesson number 16. Does anyone need lesson 16? I should have asked that earlier. Oh, many folks do. Ed, I'm sorry, just as you got comfortable over there, I should have asked that earlier. Lesson 16, the adoration of the Lamb. And again, the lesson 15 ends up with why the weeping. And John is weeping, there's crying, there's sorrow, there's hope deferred, maketh the heart sick. John has all his hopes built up. Let's get this book open. Let's start in process. Man receiving his inheritance that's bought, that's paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get this thing. And nobody is worthy to open the book. We have Robin Carpenter up here. And any others? Lesson number 16, the adoration of the Lamb. We'll not take time to go through the memory verse since we already went through one, but we'll do that next week because we will be here for a little while, because I will not get through this in one time. Not even possible. In fact, I'm not even going to get to capital A. I know, it's hard to believe. You say, Pastor, you just got to move on. Anyway, Revelation 5:5 is our memory verse, and that's where we are. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Weep not. And I couldn't go any further than that. Weep not. You know, again, Revelation's about the end times. Revelation deals with, and I know there's people, you know, boy, I'm anxious to get to those end times things. Well, you've got a pastor here that's not going to do any predicting. I do a lot of speculating, but I'm not a predictor because the Bible says no man knows, and so if no man knows, I don't even try to find out. Amen. But there's all kinds of speculating going on. But here's something that we do know. We know this, no question about it. There's two words that capture my attention and two words that have just caused me to be riveted to just a little extra little study within the study, and that's the two words are weep not. And I just couldn't get away from that. How much time do we spend weeping? Weep not. How many times are we just so brokenhearted that we sob to God? How many times in our lifetime? How many times over the years have we wept so hard that we literally left a damp place where we had been because we wept for so long, so hard, and shed so many tears? Was it because we received some news that broke our heart? Was it because maybe it was in a hospital room that we wept like that? It could have been at a funeral home. I've observed it so many times. Could have been here at the front of the church at an altar when our hearts are broken because of something God has spoken to us about. And certainly the tears of conviction are good tears to weep, but they are tears nonetheless. And here in Revelation, as we look into the future, and God opens up this vision to John, and then lets John record it so we can see, we hear two words that I believe are two of the greatest words in all the Bible, and that's weep not. Because the day is coming, folks, where there will be no more tears. It's amazing to think about. It really is. Amazing to think that day is coming. Let's just kind of glimpse ahead, Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7, 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wow. Revelation 21 and verse 4. We're several years away from that. Just thought I'd tell you. Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And we understand in Revelation 21, we understand as we think about heaven and we think about the future with God, and we understand that the words weep not are going to come true. It is going to be reality for us, that there will be a day where there are no more tears. There will be a day where sobbing will cease. There will be a day where our hearts will no longer be broken, because that which causes those tears will be gone. It'll all be gone. It's hard to imagine, hard to even think about. And I thought about, this passage seems to be the final instance of a believer weeping. Now, lost people are going to weep in Revelation. Lost people will shed many tears, but we get an idea that this is the final instance of the believer being said, hey, no more tears, weep not. And to think one of these days that's going to be me. Weep not. Weep not. Brother Rogers, weep not. I saw you there, and I saw you in your office late at night. I saw you in your bedroom at 2 in the morning. I saw you at the altar. I saw you there at your chair. I saw you in that hospital room. I saw you at the cemetery. You know, and now put your name there. Weep not. No more. No more weeping ever again. You know, sorrow, suffering, pain, death, literally, all those things combined over the years have carved out an ocean of human tears ever since Adam's rebellion against God and his sin. And sin has caused tear after tear after tear. This morning, someone's weeping because of sin. Do you understand that? Someone is weeping because of sin. Last night, late at night, someone's weeping over sin. Clark, did you want to say something?
Tears of joy.
There are tears of joy.
We had tears of joy when our friends came from
Croatia. Yeah. Amen for tears of joy. And by the way, the tears, my wife, she taught a Sunday school lesson about tears and how what they do, and it deals with your eyes, it deals with many things. It is a relief. But the point that I'm making is there will be no reason to weep again in heaven. There will be no reason. There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain. There will be no hurt. There will be no sadness. There will be no suffering. There will be no death. There will be no hospital. It's like several funerals, I've said, there will be no more funeral directors in heaven. And they always get offended over that. But anyway, that won't be their job. They can do something else. But we won't need vaults in heaven. Amen. And praise the Lord. And that is an exciting thought. And so I just kind of went through and I started this thing, and it just amazed me. Let me just show you some things. You can just write these down, and obviously, I'm not going to have time to do all this. Genesis 23, verse 2. Genesis 23 and verse 2. Weep not. Genesis 23, verse 2. Sarah died in Kirjatharba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to her to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Here, Abraham weeps over Sarah, his wife. And his heart is broken. In Hebrews 12 and verse 16, it tells the story of sin and the result of sin. And it always is the result of sin. It seems like a simple thing that takes place. And yet, I want you to see clearly what the Scripture says. And we have to know that always this is true. Hebrews 12 and verse 16, we have the story given of Esau. Hebrews 12 and verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing. Okay, so one day he says, I'm starving and I've got to eat, and my belly's more important than anything, and yes, my belly is more important than my birthright. And he said, you know what? It isn't going to hurt me to sell my birthright and to sell my right to all that my father has. It isn't going to hurt me as long as I can satisfy my flesh today. And notice what the Bible says, and it's so clear, and I believe I've preached on this before, When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why? Because he sold out, that's why. Because flesh was more important than spirit. Because flesh and temporal was more important than eternal. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And Esau wept over the loss by his own choice of all God had for him. I'm amazed how Christians will sell out because of their flesh. So often, of all that God has for them, all the blessings of God, so many great things. I counsel teenagers all the time, hold on to what God has for you. Hold on to your birthright. It is not worth it to satisfy your guts growling today. It'll cost you tomorrow. And how many tears have been shed because somebody sold their birthright like Esau? Abraham wept over Sarah's body. Esau wept over his wrong decision. Israel weeps in Exodus 2, verse 23. And you know the story. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. Israel, of course, is in bondage to Egypt. Exodus 2, verse 23. It came to pass in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. Their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and they weep over their conditions. Chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. I think about all the tears, and God says here in Revelation, the two words that are so precious to me in verse 5, weep not, and to God. Again, this is so wonderful to God to say, weep not, you don't have to weep anymore. My son has paid it all. Weep not. Weep not. And Israel weeps over slavery. Moses weeps over Miriam's sin in Numbers 12 and verse 13. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 13. And, you know, here's a man, Moses, who is very close with people, and he loves his people. And we see this often with Moses, how his heart is broken over sin. And Numbers 12 and verse 13, a sin takes place. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And because of Miriam's sin, God has to deal with her, and Moses weeps over that. Do you ever find yourself weeping over God dealing with people? Boy, Joshua weeps over the defeat of Israel in Joshua 7, and again, because of sin, Joshua chapter 7 and verse 6. And I hope you'll just write these down. Josh, it is amazing. I was amazed how many times there's weeping, or they wept, or there are tears. And they're not tears of joy. Joshua 7 and verse 6. Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. I mean, this is weeping. This is serious weeping. I mean, the walls of Jericho have fallen down, and the great city of Jericho has come down because of the power of God, and piddly little town of Ai defeats them. I mean, you know, here you have a great victory in your life, and boy, you know, it's over such a huge battle. I mean, it's Jericho, it's fallen down, and God has moved, and it's great. And then now you go up against, I mean, we're talking about the difference of going against Ann Arbor versus going against Morenci. You conquer Ann Arbor, and you can't even, you get destroyed at Morenci. And it's like, how can this be? And boy, the weeping begins in Joshua's heart. He's the leader. And we find out it's because of sin. Achan, sin. Sin in the camp. That would be the idea. That'd be any number of people. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a leader of a junior church. It could be a pastor. And realizing that defeat comes to all because of one. How sad. It could be the most loyal American realizing, hey, you know, America could be a great country again as it has been all these years, but we watch it go down and we realize it's because of sin being in the camp, weeping. I hope you weep for your country. it should cause us to weep. Naomi weeps as she leaves Moab, and of course the story, Ruth chapter 1, a very, very touching story in the Bible, and Ruth is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I just love it. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And of course, Ruth goes with her. Orpah decides to stay. And of course, Naomi's heart is broken because, again, Moab was a place where her husband died, her sons died, and she weeps. And have you ever had so much sorrow, so much pain, so much hurting, that you weep as a Naomi would? 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, and we have the story of Hannah, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 10, and how she's weeping. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Why? Because she wanted to have a child. She wanted to have a son. And she's weeping because God has left her barren. And you know, you think about that. I don't know how many couples I've prayed with that could not have children, and some anointed them with oil and watched God provide them a child. In fact, sometimes anointed them with oil and watched God provide them with several children and watched them question the power of the oil. But you know, you watch that happen and you see that happen, and yet, boy, how many people are brokenhearted because they could not have children, as Hannah was here. Samuel is weeping in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 35, and he's weeping because of the failure of King Saul. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 35, and we see Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel, and Samuel's heart is broken because of the failure of the leader, Saul, and his heart's broken. And certainly our hearts can be broken over those who are leaders. We think, of course, of our political leaders, but then we watch sometimes a spiritual leader. Sometimes we watch someone who we look up to, someone that we have looked up to for many, many years, someone that maybe was our Sunday school teacher at one time, someone who maybe led us to the Lord at one time, someone who maybe was our pastor at one time, and then they fall, and oh my, it breaks our heart, and it causes weeping. I'm going to stop there because I've run out of time. I do have a few more, and I want to give these to you. I want you to look them up. And so the next time, next week, Brother Hawkins will be teaching the class, and I'll be with the shepherds. But I weep not. I don't know if it means as much to you as it does to me. I've shed a lot of tears. I really have. Somebody not long ago, I was preaching in chapel, I believe it was, and I made that kind of a statement, something like that, that I've shed a lot of tears, and that my wife has shed a lot of tears. And they said, "We don't believe that, because you guys always seem so happy." Oh, let me tell you something. If there's a smiling face, you need to realize there's also many, many times of lots and lots of tears. And I look, all I have to do is I look around here, and I know that as a pastor. I was thinking yesterday of all that was going on, and I'll talk about that tonight because it's all going on still. And I was just thinking about how many broken hearts are making everything go on. How many people just keep going with broken hearts? I look at our dear shepherd workers, and it's an amazing ministry. It really is. And I was kind of looking around, and you know, there's folks that run that thing, and at any given time, their heart's broken. But they're smiling and just keep going. But you know what? In heaven, there won't be any weeping. Weep not. Thank you so much, Father, for that wonderful promise. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurt, no more suffering, no more questioning, no more doubt, no more any of that. Lord, heaven, what an amazing, amazing thought that there will be no tears in heaven. What a blessing it is to know that's what we have to look forward to. Thank you for your word, and I pray you'll apply it to our lives. Bless the morning service. Please speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll take a few minutes and